Welcome to the worship service of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Yorktown. The following program was recorded Sunday morning, October 28th.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of the announcements in the bulletin. It is the fall season and tend to have a lot of things happening over the weekends. And I think Kathy's going to make an announcement what's going on today. And why don't you go ahead and do that?
Good morning. Remember, everybody is invited to the fall feast this afternoon after Sunday school. Going to have games for the kids and the grown-ups. So please, we really want everyone to show up for that. Also, you can still bid on the quilt up until noon because we're going to make the announcement at noon. Please remember this is a donation to the disaster relief. So it's a wonderful project that the women of the church are having, and we'd really like that supported. So right up until the last minute, please make sure to make your bids, and that will be in the fellowship hall. We don't have it out here today, but it will be at the fellowship hall, so please make the bids as soon as possible. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kathy. Next weekend, don't forget, time does change. We go back to regular time rather than daylight savings time. And when we do that, we also change the time of our Saturday evening worship service. So on November 10th, next weekend, we'll still be at 6 o'clock, but the following weekend, we will be at 5 o'clock for Saturday evening worship. And also today, we have a couple of proud grandparents with us, two sets of proud grandparents with us. Owen Samuel Kanese was born on Friday, October 26th, to Jeremy and Lori Kanese. He weighed 7 pounds, 5 ounces, and he measured 50 and a half inches. 20 and a half inches. I need to read that right, don't I? All right. And Weston Wisey, son of Jordan and Brooke Wisey, and grandson of Boyd and Pam Wisey, was also born on Friday, and he was 7 pounds, 15 ounces, and 19 inches long. Okay, so congratulations to y'all. Any other announcements this morning? Anything else? If not, then I invite you to rise as we begin with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our opening hymn is number 229.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in all their temptations. Defend them against all their enemies. And bestow on your church your saving grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. first lesson is from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. The renewed covenant will not be breakable, but like the old covenant, it will expect the people to live upright lives. To know the Lord means that one will defend the cause of the poor and needy. The renewed covenant is possible only because the Lord will forgive iniquity and not remember sin. Our hope lies in a God who forgets. The reading. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord. Our psalm for today is Psalm 46, and we will read it in unison. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be toppled into the depths of the sea, though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its tumult. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her.
She shall not be overthrown. God shall help her at the break of day. And the earth shall melt away. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come now and look upon the works of the Lord, what awesome things he has done on earth. It is he who makes war to cease in all the world. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. The second lesson is from the third chapter of Romans. Paul's words stand at the heart of the preaching of Martin Luther and other Reformation leaders. No human beings make themselves right with God through works of the law. We are brought into a right relationship with God through the divine activity centered in Christ's death. This act is a gift of grace that liberates us from sin and empowers our faith in Jesus Christ. The reading. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. History tells us that the English army and the German army defeated the French and Bavarian armies at the Battle of Blenheim in 1704. An old soldier who had fought in that battle took his grandchildren back to visit that site of the battle. And he was trying to explain to them why the battle was fought and why it was so important, but he was having a hard time remembering any of that. But he kept insisting that it was significant and that it was important. Finally, one of his grandchildren said, "What good ever came of it?" It seems that some of these past events in history seem so important and significant at the time, but over the generations then, they kind of lose that significance. Who knows, maybe even some of us here had relatives who fought in that battle, but if we did, we've lost all that. We've lost the significance of what actually happened there. Today we have a celebration of another event of history. Today we celebrate the Reformation. It happened 501 years ago in 1517. At the time of Martin Luther, November 1st was a very important day. It was All Saints' Day. And just like on Christmas or Easter, people would flock to the church for this special service. And so on the evening before, October 31st, Hallowed Eve, Martin Luther posted on the bulletin board of the church door of Wittenberg Castle 95 theses or statements, which he wanted to present to people, and anybody who could read would read these things. He wanted to get discussion going, or maybe debate going, about some of the policies, practices, and teachings of the church, and maybe some change could come about through that. It spread like wildfire. With the invention of the printing press, things were able to move very quickly throughout Europe, throughout the Holy Roman Empire. As a result, eventually Martin Luther and many of his followers were excommunicated, and the Reformation was started. And we can ask, though, what good ever came out of it? What good ever came out of it? In our gospel lesson today, Jesus tells his followers, "Continue in my word. Continue in my word." What was going on in the church in the day of Martin Luther was that many of the officials were corrupt. And the church had adopted doctrines and policies and teachings and practices that were not in line with Scripture. As a matter of fact, many of those were adverse to Scripture. And Martin Luther thought that that needed to be corrected. It needed to be changed, that the teachings and policies and the doctrines and practices of the church ought to be following Scriptures. And that's why he wrote those 95 theses, to start the debates, to start the discussion that maybe change could come about in that. Martin Luther was continuing in the Word. When the church officials started to feel a loss of power, that people weren't listening to them anymore, and they also saw that their treasury was starting to be depleted, they charged Martin Luther with heresy and put him on trial. At the trial, they had before him all of his pamphlets and leaflets and teachings
books that he had written. And they asked him, "Are these yours?" And Martin Luther admitted to it. Yes, he had written those things. And he was told to recant, to take all of that back, and to never write anything about that again. Martin Luther says, "Let me have a day to think about it, or let me have the evening to think about it." And so they granted that to him. And the next morning they came back to trial, and he was asked again, or told again, to recant. And Martin Luther says, "My conscience is bound to Scripture. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen." Martin Luther was standing in the Word. He was continuing in the Word. Jesus tells his followers, "Continue in my Word." Actually, the word "continue" occurs quite often in the New Testament. I think it's there over 100 times. And half of those, though, are in the Gospel of John, or the letters of John. To continue. To keep going. Continue doesn't mean to stop and start again. It doesn't mean to be sporadic. But it means continuous. It means constantly. It means always. That the Word is with us. That our faith sticks with us. That it is the guiding principle, not only within the church, but also within our own lives as well. And so we ask that question. What good ever came out of this historical event of the Reformation? And that is that we continue in this Word. Because the Reformation wasn't just that one time historical event. Actually, it has been occurring throughout history. When the Israelite people would wander away from the Word of God, when they would chase after false idols or forget about the Word of God, God would send his prophets to bring Reformation back to the people, to pull them back together once again into that Word of God. God also sent his Son into this world as a kind of a sense of reformation or of renewal of new life, of making us righteous so that we can have new life with God by what Jesus Christ has done through the cross and the resurrection. We are made worthy of that new life. The disciples continued in that Word as they went out and they told that story of Jesus Christ to bring renewal to all the people who had not heard about Christ, to bring them new life as well. And that Reformation continues with us as we live our lives here within the church, but also our own personal lives then too. Martin Luther did write in his small catechism about baptism, that we are drowned through daily repentance and a new self shall arise. Each and every day we experience that reformation, that newness, that new life that is created within us. And we constantly stay in that Word. Continue in the Word. We read Scripture in worship. We read Scripture in Bible studies. But read that Scripture at home. Read it every day. Continue in that Word and let it ingrain into you. Let it be a part of your faith, because that is our guiding light. That is what guides our life and our ways and our behaviors and who we are if we continue in that Word of Jesus Christ. Jesus tells his disciples or his followers, "If you continue in my Word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, number 390.
Thank you.
Please rise as we confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for the sake of the Church, the world, and one another. Gracious Father, pour out your Holy Spirit on your church. Make it your holy habitation. Keep it steadfast in your word. Strengthen it in the face of temptation. Defend it from evil. Reform and purify it from sin and error. And bestow on it your saving peace. Lord, in your mercy. Be the refuge and strength of Christians throughout the world when they are persecuted for confessing Jesus as Lord. If it is your will, grant them the strength to endure, even to the giving of their life's blood, as a faithful witness to the lordship and love of Jesus. And give us the courage and will to defend their witness, provide for their needs, and boldly confess the faith and the hope we share in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Be with the people of this congregation as our help and our Redeemer. Gladden our hearts with the joy of your saving love, and empower us to gladly share our joy and your love with those who do not know either. Lord, in your mercy. Pour out your Spirit upon the teachers and theologians of the church, that they might hand on as of first importance what they have received as life and truth and salvation. Bless all church schools and colleges, seminaries and conferences, that they might write your words upon their hearts of many. Lord, in your mercy. Exalt yourself among the nations and speak your holy word to the leaders of the world. Establish among all peoples that peace which the world cannot give, and teach us to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before you. Lord, in your mercy.
We lift before you the needs of all whose lives are shaken and troubled by suffering of mind, body, or spirit. Especially, we pray for Dolly Rupert, Roland Riedesel, Gail Riedesel, Gladys Wilhelmson, and Cliff Jacob. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Most holy Lord, we give you thanks for the lives of all your faithful people, for prophets, apostles, and martyrs, theologians and confessors, teachers and pastors, and all the saints whom you have claimed as your own and redeemed through the precious blood of your dear Son. Grant that we may humbly follow in their footsteps, boldly trust in your promises, faithfully live in your word, and cheerfully serve in your name, and bring us through the merits of your Son into your eternal home. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayers, gracious Father, and answer them in accordance with your will. For the sake of your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with the offering. Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with our offerings, nourish us with life through Your Son, that we might be Your body and Your world.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ,
who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, blessed it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it, and gave it to them to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into
come, for all is ready.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Our closing hymn, number 532.
Thank you.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.